Good morning, Oregon. Thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax. Let me tell you the story, well, part one of the story at any rate, or some of the stories of Oregon's backcountry legends of buried treasure and pirate loot. Stories like this have kept treasure hunters busy for hunting for gold and digging around in hidden corners of Oregon for like the past 150 years. This is a roundup of legends and tales, and it, you know what? It might even be possible that some of them might even be true. Because today is Monday, this is a story from 2011, so it's fairly recent. It was first published in January 16th, 2011, under the headline, Oregon Backcountry is Rich in Legends of Buried Treasure. Okie doke, here we go. Oregon has more than its share of high-profile stories of lost and buried treasure. Stories like the Blue Bucket Mine in northeastern Oregon and the buried treasure of Neocony Mountain on the coast. But there are many more as well. Rumors and legends of buried loot from stagecoach robberies, gold dust squirreled away by nervous prospectors, even a kettle of cash stashed away for safekeeping by a paymaster doomed to die in silence. And who knows, one or two of them might even be true. Let's start with the Louse Creek stage robbery. In 1890, a group of robbers held up a stagecoach near Louse Creek in Josephine County, north of Grants Pass. The story says Douglas County, but this is probably an error. Louse Creek runs within a few dozen miles of the Douglas County line. According to this legend, the robbers were chased down and killed in classic 1890s Oregon gold field style, but one of them, with his dying breath, said that the loot had been stashed just a few hundred yards from the crime scene in a hole in the ground. Well, for years, treasure hunters have scrounged around the area looking under every leaf, and as far as everybody knows, they found nothing. Then, in 1933, a gold prospector named C.L. Eubanks, beating the bushes along the creek, came across a manzanita tree with some peculiar carvings in the trunk. The date 1890 was there, along with the initials M.L.P. and L.P.M., the robbers' names, perhaps? And below that, a message. Eubanks could just make out the words, "Go to." Beyond that, the tree's healing powers in the previous 35 years had made the carving unreadable. That summer, Eubanks devoted himself to the hunt for the missing loot, but so far as anybody knows, he never did find it. Our next little story is the Silent Paymaster of Fort Grant. So in the years after the gold was discovered in California and southern Oregon, the town of Fort Grant sprang up south of Medford, more or less where Phoenix is today. The town lacked a bank, so the paymaster of one of its companies, probably the stage line, kept accounts for local miners. He'd stashed their gold dust, $20 coins, and other valuables in a big iron kettle which he kept securely buried in a secret location. This worked great, until the paymaster suddenly had a stroke. Struck dumb, the paymaster motioned for a pencil and was handed one, but halfway through his attempt to draw a map, the growing damage in his brain reached the lethal stage, and he took its secret with him to the grave. Again, there was much time and effort spent to scrounging around camp and thrusting steel rods into the ground to probe for the kettle, and again, so far as is known, no one has found it. But then if I'd found it, I wouldn't have told anyone, would you? Next, let's talk about the inside job at Pendleton. This is another solid gold legend, and it has enough basis in fact to have made it into court in 1880. It seems a fellow named H.P. Page, an official with Wells Fargo, was riding to Portland on a company stage that was delivering a big chunk of money. On the way, Page went into the boot of the Concord stagecoach to take a nap on the mail sacks, or so the jury chose to believe when it acquitted him. The prosecution tended to think he was doing something other than snoozing in there. Whatever the real story was, what mattered most was that the shipment of gold was somehow abstracted from the coach on its way to Portland. Oh, and one other detail. The coach didn't stop anywhere along the way. The gold simply disappeared en route. It's hard to imagine any way that could have happened other than Paige chucking it out the window into a bush along the route. Paige was acquitted but found himself marked as an untrustworthy man and left the area and was never heard from again. But some folks think he stashed the loot somewhere in Umatilla County to retrieve later, after his notoriety had ebbed a bit, and just never made it back. Maybe it's still there, or maybe the whole thing is a Tooth Fairy class fantasy. Who knows? Got one last story for you. This is the Solid Gold Muck Boot of Corvallis, Oregon. This story is probably the least believable of the bunch, but again, who knows? Apparently, in 1857, a miner showed up at a saloon in Corvallis and started bragging about a rich gold strike he'd hit. The story goes that after sobering up, this guy realized he'd raised his public profile a little bit more than was good for him, and that maybe he'd better stash his pile somewhere safe so that he would not be a walking, talking, engraved formal invitation to a mugging. So he put his gold dust in a rubber boot and squirreled it away somewhere in what is now Peavey Arboretum. Subsequently, the story claims, the miner disappeared and several Corvallis citizens shortly thereafter became uncommonly wealthy. This last bit makes the story suspect, as in 1857 so much money was pouring into Oregon still from the gold fields of California and southern Oregon that sudden increase in a neighbor's living standards would not have been unusual enough to raise such suspicions. What else is wrong with this story? Actually, plenty. First of all, Corvallis isn't a mining town. It's certainly possible that someone struck gold nearby, but he'd be far more likely to go south and strike it in Jacksonville or Virginia City, which means he'd be doing his drunken boasting there, not back home in Corvallis. And secondly, rubber boots were uncommon and valuable items in 1857, not the sort of thing a man would use to bury something in. Still, it's a fun legend to think about if you're ever visiting the Arboretum. And who knows? It might even be true. Well, that's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. About 180 columns going back to 2008 when I first started doing these, plus links to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and the Facebook page and Twitter feed have links out as well in case you want to join the conversation online. The website is also where you'll find the full citations of sources for this story. Sources for today's episode include a book by Ralph Friedman and the treasureadventure.com website. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. All these columns are covered under Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Details at offbeatoregon.com/cc. If you're coming to Corvallis, drop me a line so we can grab a cup of coffee and talk history together. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. That's it for today, so thanks for listening, and have a great day.